Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening, folks? It is 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's December something. Getting close to Christmas. I've been sick in bed for 3 days. I don't know what's going on. I'm at a loss for words, but kick back and get ready for this version of the Trainwreck Radio Show. We'll be speaking with Mike Volin tonight. You may have seen his press conference today. I mean, last Friday. Sheriff Joe's last one. We'll be back right after this. Enjoy this. We've got 3 minutes and 33 seconds of commercials, and we'll be back.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
At DaveBrayUSA.com. Definitely want to check the video out. I worked with an organization called Lesma. It's a media watchdog for police officers when officers and law enforcement are being misrepresented in social media and all these different causes that are out there, you know, sort of pushing the blame. You know, they go out and they break laws for no reason just to prove that the cops, A, have to be police. They don't choose the laws they uphold. They uphold the laws because that's their job. Whether they're passive laws or aggressive laws, they go out and break them for the reason of to get a police response, which is just wasting taxpayer dollars, and I wish people would see that. These cops are putting themselves in harm's way on a daily basis. When your dad's a police officer and he goes to work, he straps on a gun and a badge. But these people are going into harm's way, you know. And it's an honorable job. It's one of the hardest jobs, and it takes a special person. And I think in this day and age, you know, we should be rallying behind them. But this song, Last Call, is about a fallen officer sort of giving his last sort of will and testament over the radio after he's been in a gunfight and he's hit and he's pinned down and he's not going to make it. And he just sort of gives his words.
Standby for a special announcement. Emergency traffic only.
11:45. Prince William calling. 11:45. This is the final call for 11:45. Officer Ashley Gwinden. End of watch, February 27th, 2016. May you rest in peace.
Visit TrueTexasPatriotGear.com. Buy this gear to support efforts by like-minded patriots in Texas who met at the first Stand By Me for Liberty rally. The group is lending their time and efforts to help political prisoners to let them know they are not being forgotten. Visit TrueTexasPatriotGear.com and buy some gear and show your patriotic support for those who are standing for liberty.
Was free. So, brother, I ask you, are you going to stand by me?
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
There you have it, folks. We are here. It is the Patriot Nation Radio's Trainwreck Radio Show. I'm your host, Mark Hoffman. My co-host is MIA so far. Hopefully she'll make it in, as I'm feeling pretty under the weather. Hurting pretty good. Folks, we have a new president, as far as I can tell. Now it's on to D.C. to be certified. January 6th, I believe, is the day, which is little Christmas. Be sure when they're telling us that Obama's out, And, sir, Mr. Donald Trump is in. As you're taking down your Christmas lights to celebrate, maybe you want to leave them up one more day to celebrate our new president. And now there's a lot of hoopla going on about the Electoral College, blah, 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 blah. Well, there's a couple things on the board here. I've never played them. I don't know what they are. So I'm going to take a chance, folks, because it's on our radio board. So I'm sure it's pretty good. And we're going to check it out. It's going to be a couple minutes, about 5 minutes long. Let's hear what it has to say here on the Trainwreck Radio Show. You never know what's going to take us off the rails. This may just do it.
I want to talk to you about the Electoral College and why it matters. All right, I know this doesn't sound like the most sensational topic of the day, but stay with me because I promise you it's one of the most important. To explain why requires a very brief civics review. The President and Vice President of the United States are not chosen by a nationwide popular vote of the American people. Rather, they are chosen by 538 electors. This process is spelled out in the United States Constitution. Why didn't the founders just make it easy and let the presidential candidate with the most votes claim victory? Why did they create, and why do we continue to need this Electoral College? The answer is critical to understanding not only the Electoral College, but also America. The founders had no intention of creating a pure majority rule democracy. They knew from careful study of history what most have forgotten today or never learned. Pure democracies do not work. They implode. Democracy has been colorfully described as two wolves and a lamb voting on what's for dinner. In a pure democracy, bare majorities can easily tyrannize the rest of a country. The founders wanted to avoid this at all costs. This is why we have three branches of government: executive, legislative, and judicial. It's why each state has two senators, no matter what its population, but also different numbers of representatives based entirely on population. It's why it takes a supermajority in Congress and three-quarters of the states to change the Constitution. And it's why we have the Electoral College. Here's how the Electoral College works. The presidential election happens in two phases. The first phase is purely democratic. We hold 51 popular elections every presidential election year, one in each state and one in D.C. On election day in 2012, you may have thought you were voting for Barack Obama or Mitt Romney, but you were really voting for a slate of presidential electors. In Rhode Island, for example, if you voted for Barack Obama, you voted for the state's four Democratic electors. If you voted for Mitt Romney, you were really voting for the state's four Republican electors. Part two of the election is held in December, and it is this December election among the state's 538 electors, not the November election, which officially determines the identity of the next president. At least 270 votes are needed to win. Why is this so important? Because the system encourages coalition building and national campaigning. In order to win, a candidate must have the support of many different types of voters from various parts of the country. Winning only the South or the Midwest is not good enough. You cannot win 270 electoral votes if only one part of the country is supporting you. But if winning were only about getting the most votes, a candidate might concentrate all of his efforts in the biggest cities or the biggest states. Why would that candidate care about what people in West Virginia or Iowa or Montana think? But you might ask, isn't the election really only about the so-called swing states? Actually, no. If nothing else, safe and swing states are constantly changing. California voted safely Republican as recently as 1988. Texas used to vote Democrat. Neither New Hampshire nor Virginia used to be swing states. Most people think that George W. Bush won the 2000 election because of Florida. Well, sort of, but he really won the election because he managed to flip one state which the Democrats thought was safe, West Virginia. Its four electoral votes turned out to be decisive. No political party can ignore any state for too long without suffering the consequences. Every state, and therefore every voter in every state, is important. The Electoral College also makes it harder to steal elections. Votes must be stolen in the right state in order to change the outcome of the Electoral College. With so many swing states, this is hard to predict and hard to do. But without the Electoral College, any vote stolen in any precinct in the country could affect the national outcome, even if that vote was easily stolen in the bluest California precinct or the reddest Texas one. The Electoral College is an ingenious method of selecting a president for a great, diverse republic such as our own. It protects against the tyranny of the majority, encourages coalition building, and discourages voter fraud. Our founders were proud of it. We can be too. I'm Tara Ross for Prager University.
Join Prager University. Click here to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Click here to sign up for free at PragerU.com for quizzes, contests, and prizes.
There you have it, folks, the reason for the Electoral College. See? If we didn't have the Electoral College, this election would have been decided by New York, California, Texas, and Florida. That leaves 46 states without a say. The Electoral College gives every state a stake in the game. Very important, folks, whether you agree with it or not. Yeah, do it by popular vote. Four states decide the presidency, and everybody else's vote is just out the window. Can't be like that. That's why we have the Electoral College. But without further ado, folks, I don't want to waste any more time because our guest is our featured guest tonight, Mr. Mike Volin, is a very busy man, and he has a little bit of a limitation on his time tonight. So I'm going to bring him in right now on the Trainwreck Radio Show. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, Michael Volin from Where's Obama's Birth Certificate. What's happening, my friend?
I'm only busy when I have to be on the Mark Hoffman Show.
You know?
It always works out like that. Hey, thank you, Mark. Thank you very much. I actually heard that rendition of the Electoral College that you just played, and I think it's absolutely great.
Yeah, you know, it's important. People don't understand the importance of the Electoral College, you know. Like I said in the beginning there, is if we don't have the Electoral College, it's decided by New York, California, Texas, and Florida. And that's not fair for the other 46 states.
No, you're absolutely right.
But we got to keep it fair, we got to keep it just, and that's why we have it. But anyway, enough of that. One heck of a news conference you guys threw last Friday.
It was. We had my blog talk show immediately after it, and we had all the people that were attending there, well, most of them anyway, that were invited. It was invitation only. Come on my show and give a report from there. And they all had a piece to play in this puzzle. All of them have been with Where's Obama's Birth Certificate and Mike Zullo since the beginning, if not almost at the beginning. They're true patriots. A lot of them traveled from different places in the country to attend it in Phoenix and give a report and be there. And it was – people are saying it's the last. It's not. It's the final – wrap up before Sheriff Joe has to leave office, because unfortunately he did not get reelected. So after January 1st, literally there'll be a new sheriff in town, and he won't be able to do any more press conferences or use the power from the sheriff's office to go ahead with the investigation. However, don't get scared. It's not over. And he did say that during the press conference.
Yeah, I was watching some of it, and it was very impressive. You guys were – when I was watching it, you were talking about you had experts, one in Italy and one here in the States, Reed Hayes, which Reed Hayes, folks, explain a little bit about Reed Hayes before you used him as an analyst, what his role was beforehand, because
it's
he was
funny,
used by,
you...
I guess.
Go ahead, Mark. I thought you were done.
Yeah, well, I am. You can go. I just had a little snippet. I don't even remember what I was going to say. Go ahead.
Reed Hayes, it's funny. He was a member of the Perkins Coie team. He was actually an Obama supporter, and he actually told the Sheriff's Department, hey, you know, I'm an Obama supporter. But he pushed that aside, and what he did was he used his forensic expertise to examine this, and oh, boy, did they find trouble. And you mentioned Italy. What they did, what the Sheriff's Department did, is they sent out a number of birth certificates, including the one on the White House website, to two separate forensic institutions. And one was in Italy and one here in the United States, being Reed Hayes. And lo and behold, they came to the same conclusions. They didn't know each other was working on forgery. And it's amazing. They found 9 points of forgery. What they did, I want to get right to it. I want to get right to the good stuff. The smoking gun, more or less, to say. What they did is they have two birth certificates side by side on a video presentation. It's on my website. It's right smack in the middle. I will have the short version of just the forensic part posted over the next couple of days. Put two birth certificates side by side, and they lifted things from one to the other, and they match exactly a match. They took segments, boxes, X's, and they put them, overlaid them on the other one. There's no way it could match. There's no way any two birth certificates could have 9 points match exactly. We're talking X's, grayscale, X's that go into other boxes, date stamps that are at different angles, askew, and happen to match exactly. It is a one in a gazillion chance that they should do that. And they've been working on this for 5 years with other birth certificates. And lo and behold, they found that it belongs to a person named Johanna Anee, who was born August 23rd, 1961, Kapalani Medical Center. That's the one that they used for the forgery.
And how did they discover that? Let the folks know how they were able to discover that.
Back when the investigation was going on, and this is a coincidence or some kind of stroke of luck, Miss Anee decided she was going to get involved in this. She was friends with Mickey Booth, who was at the press conference. They called her the Bertha Princess because she kept sticking her nose in the wrong place. Actually, it's the right place, but they try to convince her it's the wrong place. And went to go to the Department of Health in Hawaii and wanted to get a copy of her birth certificate, and they wouldn't give it to her. And that sparked something. That sparked an interest there. Well, she had a copy, and Jerome Corsi went to Florida. Excuse me, Florida. You got me with the Florida, Texas, and California thing. Went to Hawaii and got a copy. Actually, I know, met her and brought it back, and they've had it. Now, they've known about certain things that were the same, but they didn't know about the 9 points. And it really has to be done in fine detail by a forensic expert and or company, which was done. They've had other things that's wrong with the birth certificate that they know about, layers and things like that, and grayscale. But really, you know, Mark, we've been fighting this. I went to Congress. Every member of Congress has a kid. Almost every member of the Senate has a kid.
I got one. I shared it around.
Did I mail you one?
Yeah, you mailed me two.
You know what? We've mailed out 60, 70,000 kits. You probably got it in the United States Post Office Express envelope. And that's the way we mailed them out. Anybody that wanted one. A lot of people requested them and gave local presentations in their local congressman's office. Every member of Congress, almost every member of the Senate, we didn't like the Senate. We felt we wouldn't get anywhere. Every sheriff, me and Commander Kirshner, Charles Kirshner, retired, mailed every sheriff's department in this country a kit, every attorney general, every governor has a sheriff's kit. Back then, they had information on the kit that clearly showed how the birth certificate was forged. But now, for whatever reason, and I hate to even say these words, we have to shove it down Congress's throat. It has to be so overwhelming that you have to take the congressman and corner him in a corner of a room and say, look at this information now. Tell me it's not a forgery. Go ahead and tell me to go get someone else to look at this or go get a court order. That's how it was with them. Although half of them told me they all know that Obama's not eligible. But now, Mark, it's over. for you to deny the information, for Congress to deny the information, for anybody in our government to deny this information, this either that they don't want to deal with it, they've been threatened, they feel they don't want to lose their pension, they're not getting involved in it now, they don't care about our country. That has to be the reasons. That's how overwhelming this piece of evidence is with all the other evidence that was accumulated over the years. And you heard Mike say how he went to Hawaii and they did not even want to lift a finger to help him. They actually escorted him out of the Department of Health. They actually called the police department on him. Mike went to Kapolani. Even before the investigation, we sent volunteers to Kapolani just to verify Obama was born there. You know what? He's the only president that doesn't have any kind of a plaque or a pamphlet about where he was born. Everybody has a pamphlet, a plaque. Everybody knows what hospital past presidents were born in. Kapolani has never verified Obama was born there. This is the closest Kapolani got. They said on their website that Obama claims that he was born here. What does that tell you? Obama claims that he was born there. They don't want to get involved in it. They don't want to touch that with a 39-and-a-half-foot pole. It's a disgrace. It's pretty evident that nobody wants to touch it. Hawaii Department of Health doesn't want to touch it. They're so corrupt. Mike went into the corruption in Hawaii, too, about how he's able to buy the security paper from Hawaii. I don't know how many thousands of copies for like $52. It's unbelievable.
And so now say they take a look at it and they go, okay, we can't deny this any longer. What can happen and what will happen? Will it null and void everything the president as he did as an illegal president?
Everybody keeps asking me that question. I don't have the answer. What we're looking for is someone to grab a microphone and step up and say, enough is enough. We need to take a look at this. This has enough evidence on it that we need to start asking questions. And most of them know by now. It's become such a joke in Washington, D.C. Most of them really know. That's what we want. We want someone to say, hey, there's something wrong with this. Let's move forward. And we're not done. Obama's days are numbered and all of that. And not one has said anything or called the sheriff's department back. I think one did call the sheriff's department back and said something. Hold on, Mark. I am at work here, and someone is looking at me. I warned you about that. I'll be back in 1 second.
All right, folks. We got some great stuff happening here. This is unbelievable information. We have a Congress and a government who could care less that we had a president in office that usurped the office of United States of America president for 8 years in violation of our Constitution and our law. And nothing's ever going to happen. I mean, I guess, if you commit forgery and you present fake identification, you get arrested. But I guess if Obama has a fake birth certificate and a stolen Social Security number from some guy from Connecticut, he can run for president and make it, and that's okay. And I'm sure if it was a Republican that did it, the Republican would have been locked up in the first year of his presidency because he's a Republican, and we have a double standard in this country, as pointed out by my good friend Kathleen Saucier, whose son is now in jail for a year in prison, federal prison, for mishandling classified information. 6 photographs. Hillary, 150 documents. Hillary running free. Conservative naval boy locked up. There's a double standard. There's a ruling class. The ruling class is the Democrat Party. It's time to hold them accountable. They don't have the state houses across this country no more. They don't have the county seats. They don't have the seats in Congress. They don't have the seats in the Senate or the House. They have like 10 governorships to 40. They are outnumbered and they're crumbling. And we have to hold them feet to the fire and keep the pressure on. We got to get these criminals held accountable for their double standards. They are not the ruling class. We are not subjects. We are not serfs. We are free people. We're Americans. We got to keep it that way. And remember, folks, I got to tell you this, too. I don't care if you love Donald Trump. I love Donald Trump as my president. I'm very happy that he's going to be my president and not Hildebeest. But believe you me, if he starts violating the Constitution, we're going to hold his feet to the fire just like we did any other president before. Unconstitutional is unconstitutional. It doesn't matter if you have an R or a D in front of your name. Believe it. Now, back to our featured guest. You back, Mike?
I am back. I do apologize.
No problem. I covered for you. A little rant. You know?
No, no, you're doing – that was great. You know, Mark, at the beginning when we had all the evidence, we put it what's called a sheriff's kit. We had asked the sheriff, we had asked Mike if we could put the information on the DVD and on my website. He said yes, because at the beginning the sheriff went to Congress. The sheriff went to Congress, Mike went to Congress, and got absolutely nowhere. He got a lot of broken promises. So we made the DVD available. Actually, they're still available. The entire sheriff's presentation, whatever the sheriff has, Mark, is on my website. Everybody can see it. You can go there. You can click on each individual video. You can look at the Selective Service registration card, which is an absolute forgery. You know, when I went and gave the presentation, I did three things. I couldn't spend hours there with my laptop. I would play the beginning of the sheriff's news conference, the second one, where the sheriff comes to the podium and says, I'm going to paraphrase, hi, I'm Sheriff Joe Arpaio. We believe the birth certificate on the White House dot gov is a forgery. And then Mike came and said, we're going to show you how it was done. And then I would play the 3 minute and some odd second video on Selective Service, and I would stop. I would stop at Sheriff Joe. I would look around the room, whether it was a congressman, chief of staff, or attorneys, and I would say, do you know who that is? 50% knew, 50% had no idea. That's Sheriff Joe Arpaio from the Maricopa County Sheriff's Department. I would continue. I'd play the Selective Service registration stamp forgery. I'd stop. I'd stop the entire presentation. I said, did you see that? Did you know about that? Nothing. There would be no response for about 30 seconds. Scribbling on paper, fumbling with paper clips. We have to look into that. You better look into that.
That's why we're here.
Right, we have a forger.
You just presented them with the evidence.
Yes.
Nothing to look into.
We had, most of the time, I would say 80% of the time, we had the sheriff's department on speakerphone with congressmen, aides, attorneys, chief of staffs that had given, the sheriff had given the information to the office there, the congressman. Some of the things that haven't been released, one or two things that still haven't been released to this day, and the congressman just did nothing. They're like, well, we'll look into it. We'll get on it. We'll give it to the appropriate committee. We'll send a letter. We'll make sure something happens. Do you realize there'll be race riots in the street? Do you realize that we have a black man in the office? Do you realize that police cars and ambulances will be overturned? I would look at him and say, is that the price for country? Let's take it back. What are you saying? Why are you being like, we got really belligerent at the end. We really stood up. We stood up sometimes and said, what is going on here? We're presenting this forgery, and they didn't want to hear it. Nobody wanted to touch it at all. There's a few that know. That said, they can't do anything. They're being intimidated. They don't want to get involved unless the pressure's off. And they said, go get more evidence. Well, you know what? There's a lot more evidence right now. And me and Ed Sunderland, and I thank Ed. He does a great job. He subs for me on my show. Have been pounding our congressman, mine, his, and several others with the information. So they have it. We speak to them directly. We just don't say, well, go to this and take a look at that. And Ed's actually worked with them where they click on a link and we explain to them what's there. And don't forget, Mark, I'm going to say this again for your audience. We didn't make this up. I didn't get up this morning in my mom's basement and go down to the computer with a six-pack. This is all we've been accused of that, believe me. This is all from the sheriff's department.
Yeah.
We're not the investigators. We just happen to have a connection. Mike Zullo is my buddy. And it's all for people to see, disseminate, make real easy with that fancy label on the sheriff's on the DVD from the sheriff's office, so everybody can go. And I'm going to give you an example. Judy Trudell, who joined my team a while back, who subs and does shows too, she went to her congressman, Posner in Florida, for another issue. And at the end, she started talking about the ID fraud, and she pulled out a sheriff kit. And the congressman opened his door and pulled out two and threw them on the desk and said, I've already got a few. Why are they sitting in your desk drawer? It goes to show you how they all have it. He didn't throw it out. He had them right there in his desk drawer, every opportunity to do what he had to do. So there you have it. That's what we were up against. I'm hoping turn of events with Mr. Trump, President-elect Donald Trump. I can now use this word president. That'll be different. Clean house. People still call me today. Mr. Volin, we got to get this to the Attorney General right away. We do? Really? Who's the Attorney General? Loretta Lynch. Yeah. Let's give her a copy, and I'm sure she's going to stop everything and go ahead and form a committee. Right. They don't get it. They really, I don't know if they've lost touch or they still believe in our government the way it is, but it's just not going to happen, not with this administration. I think there'll be a lot of people running out the door. I think there'll be a lot of whistleblowers out there. I think the pressure will be off. People won't be afraid to lose their jobs and pensions, that the information will be coming out.
That's what we can hope for, right? That people grow a set of kahunas and finally say, look, all right, I was in there, I was scared, they threatened to kill my family, they threatened to kill my children, whatever. I think that was happening in this administration. I think James Comey was threatened unbelievably. I think that they brought him into a back room and said, if you do this, we're killing your children. I swear, it had to be something like that. So he stood up there on that podium, and it sounded like he was going to drop the hammer and goes, but he couldn't prove intention. Unbelievable. The threats and intimidation that are running through, that are running from this administration. And then they have a little hearing. They have a little hearing with the Attorney General, Loretta Lynch. What came of that? Nothing. Nothing's going to come of it. Unless the people, we stand up, we have to hold them accountable. When the new administration comes in, we got to start calling these people every day, just like when we called when Obama was threatening to take the guns. We better fight. Now we got to do the other way around. Now you guys better do what's right and get these people. These people broke the law for 8 years, repeatedly. And any one of us would be held accountable and thrown in prison for years, decades, never to see the light of day and kiss our children goodnight and read a bedtime story ever again to our family. It's us, the people. We, the people, the first three words on the Constitution, must hold them accountable. We must call the congressmen, call the senators, 202-224-3121. Tell them what you think. Tell them what you feel. Make them do their job. It's our job.
You know, this might not be a bad time. Remind them that there was another, not a final press conference, a follow-up press conference, but more information. And don't forget, Loretta Lynch, I mean, she made things great today. She kissed the boo-boo. She said, you know, maybe it wasn't a good idea to meet Bill Clinton on the tarmac. You know, the $6 million, maybe I have to give it back.
Yeah, you know. Yep. Maybe you need to see the inside of a cold jail cell with your counterpart, Hillary Clinton, and your buddy Barack Obama, because Barack's like next to like, I hate to say this, but when America has more respect for a former KGB agent, Vladimir Putin, than they do their own president, I mean, maybe he's a little bit of a girly boy, puts on his little helmet, rides on his bicycles, you know, goes out to the golf course, puts on his little skivvies and dances around. let's see what Putin, what his response is to Russia's Benghazi. As this man shoots down their ambassador in Turkey. Yes, I guess it's yesterday now in Turkey. Killed him in cold blood, right there. Shot him. Allah Akbar. I guarantee you that city, very soon, will be rubble.
Russians don't mess around. I mean, They're very forceful in the way they do business, and that's how they've always been. Just because you say the Cold War's over doesn't mean it's over. And they're playing our president. And also, Mark, I want you to think about this. They know. They know about the forgery. Pravda. Time goes by so fast. Probably about 4 years ago, did a full-page article. You can search for it. About Obama and his forgery. Full page, Pravda. Did the entire full page on it. They know. They all know. They may be blackmailing Obama, and other countries may be blackmailing Obama. Because, look, we got the NSA. They know what's going on with everybody. If they wanted to pinpoint somebody, don't you think Russia has the NSA? Maybe even a little bit better. Don't you think the French or the Germans have their own? I mean, come on, with all the electronics and the technology. I mean, just because we're the United States of America doesn't mean we have the best electronics or anything like that. And it's a security issue because they could be using it to blackmail Obama. That's been brought up a few times, too. We've been bringing that up to some congressmen,
too.
That's
very well possible.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, believe it or not, whatever the case may be, but they talk about this Pizzagate. I don't know how true it is. We'll see in the coming months how true Pizzagate really is. It could be part of this fake news propaganda stuff that's been flying around. But I believe that if that's true, that's part of the blackmailing they've been using on all of these members, especially the seven that they caught out there that are supposedly involved in this in Congress. Who knows? Not much of a conspiracy theory guy with a tinfoil hat.
I have a lot of confidence that Donald Trump will run this country like a business. I have a lot of confidence in Trump that he will keep this nation secure. There will be nobody will threaten this nation anymore. And if anybody does, but there will be a consequence, whatever it may be. And if what we need to do is get back to what we were doing, anything that happens should be swift and dealt with immediately. I have no problem with that. I also think if you present evidence to Donald Trump, that he will look at it. It's not over.
Me too.
Don't forget, Trump was the one that really forced the White House to go get a birth certificate. And let me go back here, back up a little bit to the news conference. When that birth certificate was released on April 27, 2011, there was a press conference in the White House. Everybody wanted to see it. Lay it out on the table. Let me and you walk up there, Mark. Let's get a little close to it. Maybe we could rub our fingers on it and hold it up to the light and twist it sideways and see if it's got a seal. Feel for the seal. See how the paper feels. That type of stuff. That's what you would do to verify a birth certificate. That's what most people do. If you go to Department of Motor Vehicle, get a Social Security card, they look at it and they feel for the raised seal. And that's really what verifies that it's true. They didn't do that. Attorney said, nobody will see this birth certificate. Nobody's coming up here to do anything. However, and Mike said this, they ushered Savannah Guthrie into a dark room to feel it and take a picture. Well, why I've been saying on my show for 4.5 years, why the whitehouse.gov has a green security paper birth certificate like it's supposed to be, background. But why is Savannah Guthrie's blue? And why is the AP's gray? We can never figure that out, and I never found out until the press conference that the AP and the reporters were given pictures of the birth certificate on copy paper, JPEGs. That's what they distributed. The AP never went up there with the camera and took a picture of it, and that's how they got that on the AP. That's why that is gray, and Savannah Guthrie's is blue. And Mike said this, one does not have a border. The original birth certificate, the Hawaiian birth certificate, a Hawaiian birth certificate has a little border, all those fancy curlicues. One of them, I forget if it was Savannah Guthrie or the AP, I'm not home to look on my computer, does not have a border around it. What happened to the border? There's so many inconsistencies. And think of this. A regular man, a regular person, yes, his name is Donald Trump, rattled the president's cage. They came out of the office of the president, and they put a birth certificate on the White House website, a forged birth certificate. They panicked. They felt they had to. They were still fresh at this. They had no idea how to run a government. That was the one mistake they made. If they had never done that, me and you would not be here today, and probably the investigation would have died out. It would still been a couple people. We want the birth certificate. We want the birth certificate. That's the worst mistake they made. They bowed. They bowed to pressure. There you go.
Yep. And that was Trump. That's for sure. Now, if folks want to find all this fun information and watch that news conference, folks, I suggest that you watch the news conference, if anything. And how can they find that?
It's on wheresobamasbirthcertificate.com. What you'll find there is my cell phone number, 570-284-7477. For the past 5 years, I've answered it. You call. If you email me, hit the contact me button. I email you back. Get on my mailing list. There's a mailing list button. I don't send out a lot of emails. I sent two out last week, one for the press conference with the link and the other one from my blog talk show that was done live right after the conference. At the top of my website is the last press conference this last Thursday, December 15th. It's live right there in HD for everybody to see. Directly underneath that is the previous investigation leading up to Thursday with the Adobe Illustrator and taking the birth certificate apart in layers, the Selective Service Registration forgery. Look at that one first. We all know about the birth certificate, but encourage your audience to look at that one first. It's amazing how they figured out how the thing was forged, and it's a no-brainer. The Sheriff's Department did not investigate the stolen 042 Social Security number that Bob is using. That's in Connecticut. Mark, I grew up on the East Coast. Mine begins with a zero. As you work your way west towards Hawaii, it ends in five. It was done geographically to make sure, to show how people, what area they lived in. My wife grew up in Pennsylvania. Hers begins with 1-8, so forth and so on, the further out west. They did not investigate that because they did not have the jurisdiction to do that. It just wasn't part of Maricopa County's jurisdiction. Voter fraud was, and that's why they investigated the birth certificate. And because the surprise Tea Party got 250 signatures, and the sheriff did his job like he's been doing for 58 years of law enforcement. He did his job, what the people wanted. All those videos are there. There's even a way to download them in an ISO file. I don't charge a red cent. You click on that, takes it to a download box where you can download it. I also have it in the Dropbox if you want. Spend the time there and download the files. Takes a while there. There is a DVD available, and there's a contact form to say, hey, Mike, send me one of those DVDs. Now, by the end of January, the middle of January, we'll have a new DVD out with an addendum, and the addendum will be the last press conference. So you'll have everything that's there that you need to know. You can see the picture of the DVD, too. And, yes, you do have one. I had forgotten that I had mailed you one. I mailed everybody one.
You took the time. I gave one away to somebody.
Oh, that's what you're supposed to do. Yep. We took the time to put the label on there. Yep.
I went ahead and played mine to everybody. Go ahead, sir.
Great. We wanted to make it presentable. Like I said, we did get the permission from the sheriff. Actually, Sheriff Joe had one. There's a picture on my website of Sheriff Joe holding one of my DVDs. He signed it. And that's Cheryl Serber, who met him. And I talked to him that night on the phone, and that picture of that DVD is in the possession of Mr. Bill D., one of my volunteers, hardworking gentleman who pressed and made most of my DVDs. His website is WOBC2.com. And we actually got a signed autograph, one from the sheriff. And a lot of people said, oh, the sheriff didn't know about this. Really? Well, why is he holding up a DVD there? Anyway, we went past that, and there it is.
He doesn't know about it. He's been involved in it from the very, very beginning. Mike Zullo and you guys doing a great, great job trying to, you know, trying to point this out to people. And it's really behooves me that people didn't give a crap. They just, well, he's in, who cares? What?
Are you on my website?
Not right now, but I've been there, yes.
There's
I was
picture.
There actually earlier today, and that's where I stole a picture. I was trying to steal some pictures for the advertisement tonight, but I couldn't get a good picture. I should have went and got my DVD.
Anybody can take anything they want
DVD
from my website. There's a picture below the sheriff's presentations of me in two Washington, D.C. attorney's offices with the laptop open. And we didn't know this happened at the time. My lovely wife, Miss Ruth, took those pictures. What do you see on the laptops? You see Sheriff Joe at the podium at the second news conference. Look at those two attorneys. Look at them, what they're looking at. What the lady on the left, she can't believe what she's hearing. That's Sheriff Joe at the podium at that point saying, Obama's birth certificate is a forgery. Yeah. And the other one, oh, he couldn't hear what he was saying. He kept turning around. He didn't want to hear it. We're like, nope, we're going to finish my 15 minutes here that you gave me. And you could see clearly what I'm doing with my laptop. That's not a cropped image or anything, and I still have that laptop today. That's my favorite laptop. That's what we did. We went there. We opened it up. Yeah, we held their hand, Mark. We held their hand. That's what
and they're just baffled by it. I'm on the website right now. I'm trying to find a picture. There's the birth certificate. There, folks, you can see a picture of the birth certificate. The news conference is here. It's wheresobamasbirthcertificate.com. I'm on the site right now. There's a video there from Kenyatta National Hospital. Sheriff Joe announcing the press conference. There's videos, there's pictures. You can see it all right there, folks. I'm checking it out right now. Good stuff.
And the two pictures on my laptop.
There you go. Good stuff, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Volin of Where's Obama's Birth Certificate. Head over to the website. Get informed. You won't believe your ears and your eyes when you're over there. There's plenty of videos here. I'm at the bottom of the page. There's tons of videos, plenty of information for you to make your own decision. And then it will be your time and your turn to call into Congress and your senators and all these folks and let them know exactly what you believe should be done about this forgery. And we must inform President Obama. Make sure, I mean, President Trump, excuse me, good Lord, have mercy on me. President Trump, make sure he gets a sheriff kit to at least get an idea of what's going on here. You know what I mean? We got to get one over there to President Trump.
Anybody that wants a sheriff kit and wants to send it to President Trump, and you know what? It's a great idea. Let's bombard him. I know of two people last week that sent the Trump transition team a sheriff kit. I'll mail you a kit. Like I said, at the website, contact me form. You can download it. You get that fancy label that we took time to make. You can call my cell phone number. It's right on the website. It's on the top and on the bottom, 570-284-7477. We don't hide from anybody, Mark. This is not an infomercial to make money. My phone number's there. I speak to you. I've spoken to so many people individually over the years. Mr. Volin, what can I do? Here's how you have to give the presentation to your congressman. Do it like this. Give me a report. There's another page there. It says D.C. presentations. There's not a lot of pictures there, but if we couldn't get a picture inside the congressman's office because some of them didn't want to have anything, no pictures taken, we took one outside, you know, at the plaque that they have in the hall there. And that's only a drop of the pictures that we took when we were there because that's only a drop of the people that we saw. Three times we went to Congress over three different weeks there. We had appointments. We did it the right way. At the end, we did some cold knocking on the doors. Hey, do you guys got a couple minutes? Sure. What do you want? We told them before. We told them right up front before we would start what it was going to be. And I don't think one turned us down. They wanted to see it. And we were able to give the presentation. Some were just too busy. And we just left DVDs and got business cards and kept moving. We have a master list there. We have business cards from everybody that we saw. So we did what we could. We We did it the right way at the beginning. We made appointments. Everybody across the country emailed their congressman for an appointment. We had it all lined up. We separated into different teams, and we hit them. We said, look, we're here. We're representing Mark Hoffman from Florida. I understand you're his congressman. He had an appointment with you. Unfortunately, he cannot make it today. We're here representing him, and the topic will be this. And that's how we did it. We did it the right way, the polite way. We didn't barge in demanding anything.
There you have it, folks. Mike Volin, Where's Obama's Birth Certificate? So I want to thank you so much for your time. I know you got some work to do there. I don't want to keep you up from your work anymore. I thank you so much. Keep in touch. Let's keep in touch. And when the rest of the stuff comes out, we'll do another show and we'll keep people informed.
If you're on my mailing list, when something comes up from the Sheriff's Department, you will be the first to know besides me.
All right, and I'll go over to WezObamasBirthCertificate.com and make sure I get on that mailing list.
I have a Twitter feed on the site. You can click on my Twitter, and you can join my Facebook page.
Right. I'm not a Twitter. I don't tweet. I leave the tweeting and the tweeting up to Tweety Bird. I can't. I got too much going on. I can't tweet, too. Yeah. So much going on, so busy all the time, tweet and Facebook and radio show and work 60 hours, oh my goodness, but we're doing what we can, right?
Hey, Mark, before I cut out, I want to thank Ed Sunderland again for helping me out. I couldn't do it without him over the years. I want to thank Mona Presley. I want to thank my lovely wife, Ruth. I want to thank Judy Trudell, who's helped me out immensely. I want to thank Jeff Harrison also, who went with us to D.C. every time. Who gave up his time to come with us and everybody else that came there and all the other patriots that were at this last news conference. We've given a lot of time in our lives for this here to get the truth out. All we want is somebody to come forward. Start the ball rolling. We'll be there. We'll give you all the information. And Mark, thanks a lot for having me on.
Thank you, sir, for your time. I appreciate it. And I'll be in touch soon, and we'll keep in touch, and we'll do this again.
I'll come on anytime you want.
Thanks a lot. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas to your whole audience. Happy New Year. Thanks a lot. Have a good night.
Yes, indeed. Take care, Mike. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Mike Volin. Check him out. Check out his website, wheresobamasbirthcertificate.com. I will post it. I just took a screenshot from his site. I'm going to post it up so everybody can go check out the website. And I'm going to play a quick song right now. This is A Soldier's Christmas by Madison Rising. It's a great song. It's with former lead singer Dave Bray, but it's a great song, and I like the meaning and I like the feeling behind it. And we'll be back in 4 minutes, 42 seconds to wrap up this show, this episode of the Trainwreck Radio Show. Kick back. I'll be back in 4 minutes, 42 seconds.
Of all falling back home where I'm from. Thanksgiving's come, Thanksgiving's gone, and my family tells stories round their Christmas tree in the warm living room on Christmas Eve. And the candlelight shimmers as I write down the song, place far away from family and home. As the pen hits the paper, shadows grow long, but I stay here a soldier. Just me and my gun on this Christmas. I'll tell you the truth in my heart from a place that's forgotten. Time, God, and love, I'll stay here, man. My word and faith, there's nothing in this world that I wouldn't trade to go home. My birth, greatest country on earth. leaves are all falling back home where I'm from. Thanksgiving's come, Thanksgiving's gone, but I stay in the fight. I'll soldier on for the ones who will never come home.
There you have it, folks. A Soldier's Christmas. Remember those that are standing in harm's way for you this holiday season. Very important that we do not forget the brave men and women of our military during this holiday season. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in tonight. Make sure you tune in Thursday for A Conservative's Perspective with James Bostic, followed by me again, your host, Mark Hoffman, and Patriot Nation Radio Show. So this week, we're going to do a simulcast with Pastor Sylvester Bland. We're going to have on a great, awesome Christian mother, beautiful music, Tamisha Pruitt. We're going to play her song. We're going to play a couple of other songs. We're going to talk about Jesus and Christmas. And if you don't like Jesus and you don't like Christmas, don't tune in, because this is a Jesus-loving station. We love Jesus. We love Christmas. We love America. We love our Constitution and the constitutional republic that we live in. Then you want to catch Friday night Constitutional Truth with Charlotte Sines, and of course every week on Monday, 6:30 p.m., the Trainwreck Radio Show. Good stuff coming up, folks. Be sure to tune in to Keeper's Mind Pool Tuesdays on the World Integrity News Network. Brian Lang and Live Truth Radio. Tony Schwartz, Cave Radio Broadcasting up in Detroit, Freedom Works. And, of course, Pastor Sylvester Bland and the United Saints of America, www.theunitedsaintsofamerica.us. With that, I want to say, take off your hat, face the flag, stand up, and enjoy this. Dave Bray, live from Pittsburgh, the Star-Spangled Banner.
That's what I'm talking about. We're going to sing it together. You ready? Come on, Pittsburgh. Are you ready?
Whoa, see, can you see my dawn's early light, what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there.